The congressional effort to repeal the Affordable Care Act has stalled more than once, but it continues today, even though time is running out and key Republican senators have spoken in opposition. The focus of the repeal effort seems to be a shift in responsibility to the states. We want to hear how you feel about the ACA and its possible repeal, so we're asking you to call us at 941-3689 with your thoughts. On Neighbor Islands, the toll-free number is 1-877-941-3689. And in our discussion, we're going to have some expert help in the person of Hilton Rathill, CEO of the Healthcare Association of Hawaii, who's with us in our studio. Hilton, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you for the opportunity. Good morning.
What's your feeling of the degree of public understanding of what is going on here in this ongoing discussion?
Well, it's probably hard because many aspects are changing on a daily basis. Healthcare is a very complex topic, and even for those of us who work in the industry, we have to keep up, and we're getting bulletins on a weekly or even daily basis. There are a couple of bulletins that came out just this morning, for example, with updates.
Yeah. And what were those latest information to come in? It had to do with changing, was it Alaska and Maine?
Yes, there are. Well, the Graham Cassidy bill is, I presume, Chris, that that's the bill you're talking about, which is the current bill out there. And there is a large push by the Republican administration and the Senate to get this bill through. Mm-hmm. And so Senator McCain came out at the end of last week and said that he was opposed to the bill.
Right.
And two of the Senator Collins from Maine and Senator Murkowski from Alaska have also, at least they help scuttle the last bill. And they have, at least as of a few minutes ago, they had not publicly said that they would do. But there is initiatives on the way by the Republicans to sort of sweeten the pot for those states.
Yeah.
And trying to get them to come on board so that they can get this bill passed under reconciliation.
The thing that I think a lot of people have difficulty understanding is as soon as we have heard about everything that we have heard about the ACA repeal has centered on numbers of people who would lose coverage, loss of things like the pre-existing condition provision. What is so wrong with the ACA? What motivates all this effort?
Well, that's a really good question. And part of it is actually partisanship and ideology. Mm-hmm. Because President Obama and the Democrats were able to get the Affordable Care Act in without Republican support, there is concern on the part of many Republicans by that. Another part of the concern that a lot of Republicans have is the individual mandate. They believe in the freedom of expression, the freedom to choose or not to choose health care. Mm-hmm. And so that individual mandate and the employee mandate that was in the – or the employer mandate that was in the Affordable Care Act are part of those partisan objections to what was in – what was originally passed with President Obama and the Affordable Care Act.
If you – as a gesture of independence or for whatever reason, choose not to have health care and end up in the emergency room. Suddenly you have the, extreme need for some medical attention. What does that do to the system overall? What does that do in terms of costs?
Well, there is a federal law called EMTALA, and what the federal law states is that if you present yourself at an emergency room with a health condition,
right,
essentially regardless of how severe that condition is, the hospital is obligated to take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the problem is, though, that emergency rooms are set up primarily to treat emergencies. So you have a lot of equipment, you have a lot of staff, you have a lot of specialized expertise. So it's not a inexpensive place to get health care.
Right.
The least expensive visit here in Hawaii at an emergency room would probably cost at least $600 or $700, the least expensive. And
that could be for a cut finger.
Even if you had a cut finger or just had a headache, for example, and you walked into an emergency room, and it's the way the system is built right now because there's a lot of overhead associated with that. So if you don't have insurance – and you've got a cut finger or you've got a really bad headache or you ate something that doesn't agree with you, and you go to an emergency room, they will treat you because under the federal law they're required to, mm-hmm. but at a very expensive rate. Whereas if you had gone to an urgent care center or your primary care physician instead of spending many hundreds of dollars, maybe you'll spend a couple hundred dollars. And so that cost in the emergency room, those many hundreds of dollars, $600, $700, $800, whatever, for fairly simple ailments, gets absorbed by the system. And the hospitals, and in Hawaii, all of our hospitals are not-for-profit, they have to turn back to other sources of insurance or other payers to make up those costs.
And you take that one ER visit and multiply it by tens of thousands on a statewide level.
And the numbers add up very, very quickly.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the whole, you know, we've been chasing solutions for a very long time. And the perception in Hawaii, correct me if I'm wrong, was that Hawaii was ahead of the nation in providing health care to its citizens. We had fewer uninsured than just about anyone else. Is that true?
That is absolutely correct. Hawaii is incredibly fortunate. Not only do we have, you know, it's a beautiful place to live, we also have prepaid health care. We also have a very strong Medicaid, or in Hawaii it's called Quest Plan. And so between prepaid health care and Medicaid, we have a very high proportion of our residents who have health care insurance. Mm-hmm. Now, this happened even before the Affordable Care Act came in. So when the Affordable Care Act came in, it had an impact on Hawaii. It did close the gap even more, but the gap of uninsured we have in Hawaii was much, much smaller than it was in many other parts of the country. In Hawaii, for example, when prepaid came in 2010, we had somewhere between 9 or 10% uninsured. That number has now dropped down to somewhere between 4 or 5%. So that's quite remarkable. There's only one other state in the nation, which is Massachusetts, who has a better statistic in regard to health care insurance for its citizens.
Hilton, let me just interject for a second, because we do want listeners to call in. We have the phone lines open because I'm sure there are a great many people out here affected in one way or another by the ACA and the efforts to repeal it. So we really want to hear from you. Let me give a phone number for Oahu, 941-3689, and a toll-free number you can call from anywhere else, 1-877-941-3689. And let's get some callers in on this discussion because, Hilton, coming back to you, the whole idea, the push of the current effort to repeal ACA is toward the states, you take care of it. Right.
That is correct.
How is that being set up?
Well, this would be if the Graham Cassidy bill, which is a current bill, the current version that the Republicans are working on, and they've gone through, this is the fourth version. If this particular bill were to go into effect, this would be the largest intergovernmental transfer of funds from the federal government to the state government in the history of this nation. So basically what this does, the Graham-Cassidy bill, is it shifts a huge amount of responsibility from the federal government to the state. Now, some people would say, well, that's maybe a good thing. And that may be true, and it does allow flexibility, and that's one of the things the Republicans are pushing for. But it also has the potential, the Graham-Cassidy bill takes quite a bit of money, literally billions of dollars, even at a state level, takes billions of dollars out of the healthcare economy because of the way the formulas are calculated, and especially between 2020 and 2026. Also, there were certain provisions that were put into the Affordable Care Act. For example, people are protected with pre-existing conditions. Under the Affordable Care Act, regardless of how sick you are or how sick you have been, provider or insurers are not allowed to discriminate against you or charge you a higher premium. Under the Graham-Cassidy bill, those protections don't definitively go away, but they could go away because it gives the states latitude as how they deal with people with pre-existing conditions. So it's very possible that people in Hawaii who have an illness or a sickness, or the family members who have that, could be charged a materially higher premium under the Graham-Cassidy bill.
What that means is that you are pretty much at the mercy of how your state government is run under that, under what you describe.
That is correct, yes.
So now we have a political aspect to this whole discussion that, you know, varies from state to state.
Yes, it does. And again, the autonomy, one of the advantages of the autonomy is that states are different, and the Affordable Care Act didn't really recognize what Hawaii had in terms of prepaid. But as I mentioned previously, it did close some of the gap. However, we don't know where the states would go and where Hawaii would go under if Graham Cassidy bill were to go into effect. Now, we're very, very fortunate that there are our congressional delegation is very supportive of what we have in Hawaii. They do understand prepaid health care. They do understand what we have with our Medicaid program, a very strong Medicaid program. Mm-hmm. So they are all adamantly opposed to the current legislation.
Let me bring in a caller from Maui. Scott? Oh, we just lost you. Scott, we're going to ask you to call back. There's another caller from Kauai. Satya is on the line. Satya, what's on your mind?
First of all, I'm so glad you're discussing this issue. It's a major issue. And well, one of the reasons is not only the health care bill, but the cutbacks in Medicaid are going to destroy a lot of people's lives. And secondly, the defunding of Planned Parenthood has been lumped into this bill. And then the health care bill itself is going to throw a lot of people out of insurance. And I think the solution is for the people. Every citizen should get on the phone and call various senators and urge them to defeat this bill. And I have the telephone numbers of several people. One of them is Collins.
The senators who are the senators Senator who are seen Collins. as the swing votes. Satya, we'll have people look those up on their own. But I want to bring Hilton in on this discussion because, again and again, we hear about these negative impacts. We seem to have an awful lot of movement toward a change in the bill. And yet most of what we hear about it is the harm it's going to do.
Well, that is correct. And let me give you some specifics, Chris. The American Hospital Association just this weekend came out with some numbers, and they did a state-by-state analysis of the impact of the Graham Cassidy bill. And according to their numbers, 74,000 Hawaii residents would lose Medicaid coverage by 2026 under this bill. An additional 17,000 would lose access to coverage under the marketplace. So the number of uninsured people would go up materially from what it is right now. Mm-hmm. And as we talked about previously, if people have insurance, they tend to use it. In other words, if they get a cut, if they, again, have that migraine or if they got an upset stomach,
right.
If they have insurance, they will just go and see their doctor. They will call up their doctor. Maybe they'll use telehealth, one of the telehealth programs that's out there right now. Mm-hmm. They maybe go to an urgent care center because they know they've got insurance. And so every time people lose insurance, that creates an additional burden on the community in which people live.
That gets back into that whole issue of emergency room visits. And I think we have Scott from Maui back on the phone. Scott from Maui called to talk about the income that the hospitals make on emergency room visits. And he further says, can Hawaii pass a law that ensures the rates that are insured under Obamacare? Are we able to keep patient rights and keep Medicaid? And that's an issue that has been, talking about the whole states' rights issue. Given that this repeal does swing towards states' rights, could Hawaii find ways to protect itself from these negative impacts we're talking about?
Well, yes, I believe we can. We will mitigate whatever these results are. For example, we at the Association, the Healthcare Association of Hawaii, we work very closely with the Department of Human Services. We work very closely with the IGA administration. We work very closely with key senators. And there is a lot of support to maintain the advantages that we have here in Hawaii. Now, the reality is, though, that if under this proposal, if it were to go into effect, we would lose material amounts of money, many, many millions of dollars, and it would be actually billions of dollars by 2026. And that means that's money that's not available to the state, whether it's for subsidies for people to buy insurance on mm-hmm. the commercial exchanges mm-hmm. or whether it's money that the Department of Human Services would not have. So therefore, and if they have less money And right now, as I said, we have about 350,000 people in Hawaii who are covered under Medicaid. If we have less money, then we either have to dial back the benefits or we have to dial back the number of people who are insured, or you dial back the amount that doctors and hospitals would get for those. So there's different ways to deal with it, but none of those ways of dealing with it are good for us as a state because it takes money out of the healthcare system. And we don't have our healthcare system. People think it's very strong. They think it's very robust because, in general, they can get to see a doctor, they get to see a hospital. Mm-hmm. But we are under-reimbursed at a federal level here in Hawaii. So we do not have the margins in healthcare in Hawaii are very, very slim compared to most other states.
So we're actually more vulnerable.
We are more vulnerable than many other states. That is correct.
And, you know, that seems so odd given the perception that most of us have spent the last 20, 30 years with, which is that we're better off than most states due to what has been done earlier in Hawaii, the employer mandate.
We are better off certainly because of prepaid and because of our Quest plan and mm-hmm. because of the support of our legislators and governors over the years. But the healthcare delivery system that actually provide care is much more fragile than it is in many other states. Mm-hmm. And part of that is because of the inadequacy or the fact that we don't get proportionally the same type of federal funding that many other states get.
Well, let me just interrupt once again, Hilton, just to ask people to call in because I know that there's a good deal of personal involvement in these issues. 941-3689. Let us hear from you if you're on Oahu. 941-3689. On the neighbor islands, you can call us from 1-877-941-3689 and tell us how you personally are affected because what are you, coming back to you, Hilton, what do you think is going to happen with this repeal effort? It seems as if it's failing at this hour.
Well, Senator John McCain came out on Friday and said that he's opposing the bill, and he called for bipartisanship, which is what the Democrats are calling for as well, and many of the public are calling for as well. Senator Paul Ryan came out just yesterday and said that he is not supportive of the bill. So right now, this bill is very, very tenuous. Mm-hmm. Senator Collins and Murkowski have both said that they are leaning against signing this bill, despite the sweeteners that have gone into the bill for those states. So, but even if this bill were to go through, this is just a Senate.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
that's right, yeah.
we have reconciliation, which expires this Saturday on the 30th. And so if this bill does go through, and it then goes after the House. However, there's not enough time for the House to debate this, and so the only choice they have is either to go with this bill in its entirety as it's written mm-hmm. or turn it down. So there's not enough time for any more discussion for the bill. We don't even know when the bill's going to come to the floor yet. So the time is very, very short. The American public in general, the majority of the American public right now, according to a latest CBS News poll that just came out, are opposed to this bill. So we will, right now it is not looking good for this bill to pass. And there was a statement that just came out this morning, for example, that was signed by the American Hospital Association, the American Health Insurance Plans, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Hawaii, the American Medical Association, a joint statement where all of these organizations, both hospitals, physicians, payers, have come out against this bill.
Let me bring in a caller. Michelle from Kaneohe, are you on the line with us?
I am. Hello.
Hi Michelle. How is this, what's the impact on your life?
Well, right now I'm 66 years old.
Uh-huh.
And I am probably going to work for as long as I possibly can because I do have a very good health care plan through my employer.
Mm-hmm.
However, I keep hearing nightmare story after nightmare story of people who retire and suddenly their whole Social Security check is eaten up with mostly paying for health insurance. And it's confusing to navigate. And again, I have not had the misfortune to have to start navigating that stuff, but this is scary for me.
I think it's scary for a lot of people, Michelle. Hilton, it shouldn't be your whole Social Security check.
It should not be, but under Medicare is certainly true that Medicare Part A and Part B, Part A is the hospital side, Part B is the physician side, and Part D, if you have it, is the which most people have, is the drug side. But there are significant co-pays that occur under Medicare, and there are benefit limits, and I think that's probably what this caller is talking about, is mm-hmm. the amount of out-of-pocket expenses that can occur when you're on Medicare, which can be materially higher than on many of the insured plans that we have here in Hawaii under prepaid. Prepaid is actually quite generous in terms of its benefits, and under prepaid there are limits as to how much the individual employee pays out of pocket, and that's a very small number compared to most other states. So it's another reason again where Hawaii, the individual employee in Hawaii, is shielded from the cost of health care.
We have one more caller. Arlene is a nurse on Volcano. Arlene, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, tell me, what's your perspective, Arlene?
Well, I'm a geriatric nurse, and I've worked in several nursing homes in Hawaii. And although people often start out as a private pay patient, they go to Medicare when their funds are depleted. Mm-hmm. And I would say the majority are on Medicaid. And what will we do with these disabled elderly that cannot afford home care, nor do they have homes? If this bill passes through, what could we do? How could we have a solution to this?
You are... That's a very important point. And as I mentioned a few minutes ago, there are material cuts, very drastic cuts under this bill that would impact Hawaii. And we would have to make some very, very tough decisions as a state because we would have less money. The question is then, well, how do we deal with that? What do we do? Do we, right now, the prior caller was talking about challenges that are people having on Medicare. One of the reasons people on Medicare have trouble getting access, for example, because many doctors will not take Medicare because of the reimbursement.
Yeah.
Now, Medicaid reimbursement is already less than Medicare. So if the Department of Human Services were to get even less money, one of the choices is to cut that reimbursement even further. But if you cut it even further, you run the risk of further shrinking the pool of providers who will take care of people with Medicaid. So mm-hmm. The caller is right. These are very, very troubling issues and that would have a significant impact on our ability to take care of the poor and the disadvantaged here in Hawaii.
Hilton, we're almost out of time, but I just want to ask you briefly, if you can, what would you do, if you were suddenly given omniscient power to solve these huge problems? What kind of things would you do?
Well, prepaid is incredibly important to the state of Hawaii, and anything we can do to protect prepaid, and I know that it does put a significant burden on the employer because mm-hmm. of the restrictions on how much the employee can contribute, but I think protecting prepaid has demonstrated over the decades that has been good for the state of Hawaii, and I believe that most employers recognize that. We also believe that Medicaid programs, protecting the poor, protecting the disadvantaged, are very, very important. So whatever we can do in Hawaii to preserve what we have. Now, are there opportunities to streamline the system? Are there opportunities to increase care coordination, to reduce some of the friction in the system, reduce some of the costs? Yes, and I think that's where we should be focusing our time, is how do we take the pool of dollars that we have, which is material even for Hawaii.
Sure.
And how do we better spend that? How do we spend that in the most efficient manner? And how do we also get people to focus on their health, to focus on their health and well-being so they don't get sick and they don't become a burden on society? And that's something that all of us can do.
Yeah, take care of ourselves. Thank you so much, Hilton. I think we've all gained a great deal from having you here. And I want to thank the listeners for calling in because it's a valuable discussion. Thank you very much.
Thank you for this opportunity.
Hilton Rathill is the CEO of the Healthcare Association of Hawaii.